Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
So let's talk real quick before we get started about our big idea. You can see it up here behind me. The big idea for today, what I hope that you leave and you remember, is that God is my true friend and that he helps me to be a true friend too. That God is my true friend and he helps me to be a true friend too. And to get started, I've asked one of our Bridge kids to come up, and she is going to read the first passage of scripture for us today. Katya, can you come on up?
After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt.
Thank you. Give her a hand. She did a great job. Thank you, Katya. So we see in the verses prior to what Katya just read, the story that took place last week. We saw David. Remember, David comes on the scene, this shepherd boy. He kills this giant. And then in this passage, we have a new character introduced, and that's Jonathan. And Jonathan, he's King Saul's son. He's the prince of Israel. And he just witnesses David defeating Goliath and the Philistine army. And the Bible tells us here that they immediately became best friends. Their souls were immediately connected, and it wasn't just like, man, you're so cool, you just killed a giant, I want to be your best friend. It wasn't like that. It was really deep, a very spiritual experience. Their friendship was amazing, and I wonder if maybe their first meeting was a little bit like this. Let's watch and see what you think.
It's okay, friends.
Do you know these life forms?
Yes. They're Andy's toys.
All right, everyone, you're clear to come up. I am Buzz Lightyear. I come in peace.
Oh, I'm so glad you're not a dinosaur.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Now, thank you all for your kind welcome.
Say, what's that button do?
I'll show you.
Buzz Lightyear to the rescue.
Oh. Hey, Woody's got something like that. His is a pull strike. Only
it sounds like a car ran over it.
Oh, yeah, but not like this one. This is a quality sound system. Probably all copper wiring, huh? So, where are you from? Singapore? Hong Kong?
Well, no. Actually, I'm stationed up in the Gamma Quadrant of Sector 4 as a member of the elite Universe Protection Unit of the Space Ranger Corps. I protect the galaxy from the threat of invasion from the evil Emperor Zurg, sworn enemy of the Galactic Alliance.
Oh, really? I'm from Play School.
And I'm from Mattel. Well, I'm not really from Mattel. I'm actually from a smaller company that was purchased in a leveraged buyout. Well, I don't
know. You think they'd never seen a new toy before?
Well, sure. Look at him. He's got more gadgets on him than a Swiss Army knife.
Please be careful. You don't want to be in the way when my laser goes off.
Hey, a laser? How come you don't have a laser, Woody?
It's not a laser. It's a little light bulb that blinks.
What's with him?
Laser envy.
All right, that's enough. Look, we're all very impressed with Andy's new toy.
Toy?
T-O-Y. Toy.
Excuse me. I think the word you're searching for is Space Ranger.
The word I'm searching for, I can't say, because there's preschool toys press.
Getting kind of tense, aren't you? Mr. Lightyear, now I'm curious. What does a Space Ranger actually do?
He's not a Space Ranger. He doesn't fight evil or shoot lasers or fly.
Excuse me.
Oh, impressive wingspan.
Oh, boy. Well, what do you think? Do you think when Jonathan and David met the first time that it was like that? I don't think so. I don't think it was at all, because here we have Woody. He's very angry, isn't he, boys and girls? He's very jealous because Buzz has shown up and taken his place, and he is super cool with all kinds of blinky lights, and he can fly, and Woody's jealous. And Buzz, you know, he's pretty arrogant. He's being pretty proud. So I don't think it was at all like that, because what we see, and let's see how it's different, because Jonathan, the prince of Israel, the king's son, he's a prince, and he's brave, and he's a great soldier. He's strong, and most of all, he loves God with all of his heart. And here you have David, who has just come on the scene. And you got to remember, David, nobody knew him. Nobody knew who he was. He was just a shepherd. He comes on the scene, and he comes to defeat Goliath, just like that. And you have to wonder, it had to be difficult for Jonathan. Jonathan, he is a soldier. He's brave and strong, and he loves God, and he loves Israel. And he listened to Goliath mock God and the Israelites for 40 days. The Bible says the battle went on for 40 days. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty competitive, which could be described as passionate, like Jonathan. You know, he was passionate about God, passionate about Israel. And I'm pretty competitive. And you can ask our kids here in the room that Todd and I, we have this thing going at our house that, you know, whose high school was better? Okay, 20-something years later, we still talk about whose high school is better. And we all know it's mine, the CHS Indians over here. But, you know, I trusted... Oh, whatever. Oh, my goodness, he's going off back there. I trusted him to make these slides for me, and he decided to pick the championship logo for his team. But he neglected to put the championship logo for my team, because my team also, they won a championship. Yes, I know it wasn't nationals. But anyway, okay, so do you see... 25 years later, we're still arguing about this because we're passionate about the school we went to. Can you imagine how passionate Jonathan was about the God that he loved and the country that he was trying to defend? And yet he had to listen to Goliath mock that for 40 days. And then you have David come in, who is just a shepherd boy with his slingshot. And he is unafraid, and he knows, he is so certain that God is with him and that God will defeat Goliath. And he walks out there, and I love what David says to him. He walks out there with his slingshot, and he says, "You come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down." And he did just that with one stone. He took Goliath out. And so this is happening. And Jonathan, he's watching this happen. And I know that he identified with David. He admired David. He knew that God was with David. And he immediately felt connected to him. And then David comes back and speaks to Saul. And Saul says, "Man, you're not going anywhere. You're coming back with me to the palace." He realized that God was with David. And at that point, Jonathan and David meet right there, and it says they were instantly connected as friends. They pledged their loyalty to one another. And so what we see happen right there is the greatest commandment. On the next slide, you'll see the greatest commandment, which says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Which brings us to our first lesson we learn from Jonathan David about friendship, which is to love one another as God has commanded us to. And you see that in today's world, in today's society, you know, it's very easy to see how Jonathan might have been jealous or angry, kind of like Woody, right? Woody was not happy with Buzz. And Jonathan very well could have been, after all, David had really kind of just shown him up. But he wasn't angry and he wasn't jealous. He loved David with a love like God loves us, right? And David, he could have been proud. He had just killed a giant, but he wasn't. He was humble. He obeyed. And then he came to the king, King Saul, and he did exactly what he told him to do. And so it's very different. And I think we're seeing here that great commandment in action, loving each other the way God has commanded us to. And that's the first lesson I think we can learn from David and Jonathan. Now, the rest of the story gets pretty intense. I mean, that was pretty intense, the giant and all. But it ramps up. It reminds me of a Bourne movie. I mean, there's constant suspense. Somebody's always hiding, and there's codes going on here and there. It's intense, okay? But as we see David and Jonathan become friends, it's very instrumental in both of their lives. God knew that because of this rest of the story is going to be so intense, God knew they needed each other. That numerous times Jonathan helped save David's life. And I believe David was a great inspiration to Jonathan. And that's one thing I think we can learn about this today, is that if you are walking in obedience to God and He is directing your steps, He has put you where you are for a reason. You may look around and you may be surrounded by great friends, but maybe you look around and you think, God, what did I do to deserve this person? They're driving me nuts. I know I have this conversation with my girls quite often. The people that have been put in your life are there for a reason. You're there for them and they're there for you. And so let's keep that in mind and let's learn these lessons today and be a friend to the people around us the way God has called us to be a friend. So to give a little backstory on King Saul so you understand how angry he is right now, we need to look back. And my bridge kids, they can remember this because we learned this not too long ago, that back in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, Saul made a really bad choice and he decided to disobey God. He actually just completely defied an order that God had given to him. And he kind of had a track record like this. He continued to disobey God. And at a certain point, the prophet Samuel went and he had a message from God. And he told King Saul, God has rejected you as king of Israel. He has appointed your neighbor, which was David. He didn't tell him that part. But he has appointed your neighbor to take your place because he rejects you as king. So that had to be hard for Saul, okay? He was very upset about this. And at that point, God's spirit left him and he became very anxious and very depressed. And things got really difficult for him. And then you have David slaying Goliath. And so Saul puts him in charge of many missions because he's obviously a great soldier, right? And every mission he goes out on, he's victorious and he conquers the Philistines. And this just makes him more popular. People love him. The army loves him. Everyone loves him. And he's becoming a town hero. He is really a great guy. And this is becoming harder and harder for Saul. Well, at one point, Saul and David, they're coming back into town with the rest of the army. And they're coming back into the city after they had defeated the Philistines. And the whole town is cheering and they're excited. And then you have a group of women and they're dancing around with their tambourines and they're chanting this chant. They're saying, Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Well, that didn't go over too well with Saul. He was very angry. He was very upset. He says, what's next? Is this man going to take my throne? And from that point on, the Bible says that Saul kept a very close eye on David. David has just defeated Saul's enemy, and he's trying to make him feel better by playing him some nice music, and he tries to pin him to a wall. That would really bother me, and I think it really bothered David, of course. He was very bothered by this. But you would think that that might be the end of it, but it isn't. It doesn't end there. It just continues. In fact, you know, he just became increasingly angry with David, and he was thinking of ways that David could die. He was thinking, you know what? I probably shouldn't kill him, but maybe the Philistines can. So Saul kept trying to send him out on dangerous missions with the Philistines, hoping that he would die in battle, and he didn't, of course. God just gave him victory after victory, and he gained more and more popularity, and it wasn't working. But Saul just became angrier and angrier, and then at a certain point, Saul tells Jonathan, David's best friend, his son, and his attendants, he's like, this is it. David's got to die. You got to kill him. Well, that doesn't go over too well with Jonathan. And so Jonathan runs and tells David, you got to hide. You got to go to your hiding place. Get out of town. I'm going to go and talk to my dad, and I'll come back to you. I'll let you know what's going on, if it's safe or not. Okay? And so Jonathan, David does. He goes and he hides, and Jonathan comes, and you can see in our next slide in 1 Samuel 19, 4 through 6, what Jonathan says to King Saul. Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you, and what he has done has benefited you greatly. He took his life in his hands when he killed the Philistines. The Lord won a great victory for all of Israel, and you saw it, and you were glad. Why, then, would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason? Saul listened to Jonathan and took this oath. As surely as the Lord lives, David will not be put to death. So here we see our second lesson in friendship, okay? Friends defend one another even in difficult situations. I don't think it was easy for Jonathan to stand up to Saul. I think it might have been scary, okay? His dad is a little bit woo-hoo. And, you know, he went to him and he said, "This isn't right. You can't kill David. He's an innocent man." That couldn't have been easy, but he did it. He defended his friend. And that's what we need to learn today. We need to defend our friends, even in hard situations. Not just when it's easy, not just when our friend is really popular and cool, but maybe when your friend isn't the most popular and cool. Maybe when your friend isn't the one that everybody wants to be friends with. You need to defend them always, even in difficult situations. And so here we see Saul has just agreed. He took this oath that he's not going to kill David. But do you believe him? I don't think he has a good track record. I don't believe him. And so we look further in chapter 19, and sure enough, he tries to pin David to the wall again with his spear, okay? And David manages to escape, and he runs to his house. But lo and behold, Saul has positioned spies around David's house to watch, and he tells them, "Hey, when he goes to bed, bring him to me in his bed, and we're going to kill him." You know? And so luckily, when David gets home, he's escaped being pinned to the wall. He gets home, and his wife, Michael, says, "You got to get out of here. If you stay here, you're a dead man." And so he does. He escapes, and he goes to the prophet Samuel's house, and he tells him what's going on. "Man, Saul is after me." And so Samuel goes with him, and they escape to a place, you know, far away. But it doesn't take long for Saul to find out where they are. And Saul, of course, pursues them, and once again, God intervenes supernaturally, and he prevents Saul from taking David's life at that point. So now we see David and Samuel are in hiding, and David decides, "I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to Jonathan, my best friend." And so he goes and he finds Jonathan, and he says to Jonathan, he says, "You know, what have I done? What is my crime that your father is trying to kill me?" And David is, not David, but Jonathan, he's shocked. His dad just promised him that David would not be put to death. But even though he's shocked, he believes David. And he says, "Never, you will not die. Whatever you want me to do, I will do for you." And that brings us to our third and fourth lesson in friendship with Jonathan and David. We see here, number three, friends use their words to encourage and to build up. Here you have David is super distraught. He's very worried. And Jonathan is saying, "No, this is not going to happen. You are not going to die. I will do anything for you." He's encouraging him. And I think as friends, we need to do that. We need to work hard to use our words to encourage and to build up. Of course, we have to speak truth to our friends, but we do it in the most loving way, and we always bring encouragement. And then our fourth lesson we see in this scenario here is friends are trustworthy. Our next slide shows us friends are trustworthy. Because Jonathan, he was shocked. He did not think his dad would do this. He believed his dad, and he thought his dad would let him know if he had any crazy plans like this. But he believed David. He trusted him. And David trusted Jonathan with his life. He went to the son of the man who was trying to kill him for help. He trusted him because he was his friend. So friends are trustworthy. So here we have David and Jonathan. They're making plans again. They're making plans. These two were totally into codes and plans. It's like a Bourne movie. It's so exciting. It's very suspenseful. I love it. And so I wonder if you guys might have a best friend that you can think of, maybe when you were young, maybe now, that you would devise plans and codes with. I have a best friend, and I have a picture of her. I don't know if it's the next slide. I think, yes, there she is. Her name is Mandy. Her name is actually Amanda. But she's always gone by Mandy, which was very convenient because my name's Amanda. So we were Mandy and Amanda. And we were always into codes and plans. We had a language. We had our own language called gibberish. Does anybody know gibberish in the room? Yeah? My kids, they tried, but they still haven't gotten it. Yeah. We could speak in gibberish. And if that didn't work, we knew sign language. We'd speak in sign language. The teachers didn't always like that. But we were always up to something, whether or not we were planning to see if we could get our parents to let us spend every waking moment together, or revenge on the latest ex-boyfriend, which I do not recommend. But we were always up to something like that. And I kind of imagine David and Jonathan, they must have been like that. They must have had a lot of fun together. Although this plan they're devising now, it was serious. It wasn't silly. It was very serious. So let's look at this plan that they're devising now. So Jonathan and David are talking. Remember, David has gone to Jonathan. He said, you know, I'm in trouble. We got to do something. He's like, let's do this. The New Moon Festival is coming up. It's this big festival where they're going to have a big feast, and everybody has to attend. All of the royal people, David should have been there. King Saul would be there. Jonathan would be there. Everybody would be there. David said, but I'm not going to go. I'm going to stay in hiding at our usual hiding place. I'm going to stay in hiding. Jonathan, you go. And when Saul asks you, where's David? You say to him that I went to be with my family, that I begged you to go and be with my family because my family is also celebrating the festival. And you agreed to let me go. And so you tell him, this is why I'm not there. Now, if King Saul is okay with that, then we'll take that as, you're good, David. You can come out of hiding. But if he gets angry, you got to run. You got to go. And here's how I'll tell you, okay? Here's the code part. He says, you stay in hiding, and I'll go to the festival, and I'll see how it goes. And then I'm going to come out to where you're hiding. I'm going to bring a helper with me. I'm going to bring my helper, and I'm going to bring my bow and arrow. And I will shoot an arrow in the direction of where you're hiding. And I will send my helper to get it. And I'll tell my helper, go get the arrow. And if I say to my helper, look, the arrow is right there beside you, that's code for you're safe. It's okay. But if I say to you, look, the arrow is way beyond you, that's code for you got to get out of town. You got to hurry and you got to run for your life. So they had this whole plan. They had this whole plan cooked up of how they would communicate with each other and how it would happen. You know, it's such a heartwarming story. It was funny, but it is a really heartwarming story, the friendship between David and Jonathan. And, you know, it just hit me. I don't know if Jonathan didn't realize it before now, he did just learn that David would, in fact, take his throne. Jonathan would not inherit the throne like would normally happen. But it didn't matter. He loved David with such a strong love, a love straight from God. That didn't matter. The throne didn't matter. He still defended David. And here's our final lesson in friendship. And Jesus teaches this lesson. It's our key verse, John 15:13-14. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. In this final lesson, it's actually just emphasizing our first lesson, that we love one another as God has commanded us to, that we love them like he loves us. Because just like our key verse says, there's no greater love than this, that anyone would lay down their life for his friend. And God tells us, you are my friend. He is our friend. And we know very well that God sent Jesus to do just that, to lay down his life for us. And all we have to do is accept that love. We have to accept that love, and we have to trust him because he is trustworthy. He has proven to be trustworthy time and again. And so today, I am going to have some helpers, my lovely assistants. They are going to pass out something to you. They're going to pass out a symbol. It's an arrow. It's an arrow to remind you of the friendship between Jonathan and David. But also, I want you to write on it words. Words that remind you that God is your friend. That he is your friend and that he loves you with a perfect love, a sacrificial love. Maybe you want to write the words of our key verse. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for a friend. You might write on there, I am a friend of God, or God loves me. I can trust God as my friend. You can write anything you'd like to that reminds you that God is your friend and that you can trust him and that he loves you. And as we learn this today, as we learn how much God loves us and that he is our friend, that we learn to be a friend just like that to the world around us. Because as I tell my bridge kids every week, that this is how we best show God's love. You may never get a chance to tell them the whole story, a story like this, but you can be their friend and you can show God's love in a way that doesn't seem normal. Because just like Jonathan and David, they didn't act normally. They didn't act like Buzz and Woody. They acted with impeccable character. They acted like God would have them to act, with behavior that was becoming of a Christian, someone that loves God with all of their heart. And so that's what I want us to be encouraged by today, is learning how to be a true friend, even when people around you aren't true, to be a true friend. And so this, hopefully this arrow will serve as a reminder to you. It has a little magnet on the back. You can put it on your refrigerator and help remind you that God is your friend.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about The Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.